Shalom, welcome to another episode of Inspiration from Zion. I'm Jonathan Feldstein, and I have the privilege of being your host, coming to you from the Judean Mountains here in Israel. I like to refer to it as the original Bible Belt. Inspiration from Zion is a program of the Genesis 123 Foundation, whose mission is to build bridges between Jews and Christians with Israel in ways that are new, unique, and meaningful. I pray that you will find this, all of those. Through this program, we're excited to introduce you to people and stories in and relating to Israel to give you a window to look through, experiencing aspects of life here that you might not otherwise know about. We want this to be interactive, so please be in touch at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com and send along any questions and any comments about any topic anytime. Or you can reach us at genesis123.co. or follow and like Inspiration from Zion on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I always encourage you to stay tuned to the end where we're going to offer you an exciting opportunity, and please feel free to share this with others who you know will also find it of interest. Now, for more than 10 months, every episode of Inspiration from Zion has been in some way or another related to the war in which we are still in the midst of. And I wish we weren't there, and I wish we could go back to, as they used to say in on TV when I was growing up, our regularly scheduled programming. But we're not there now. And today we have a topic, a product, something you're going to want to learn about and check out yourselves with three friends from Bridges for Peace. Let me introduce them first, and then kind of the topic and why we're having this conversation. Reverend Peter Fass is the international CEO of Bridges for Peace, based here in Jerusalem. Ilse Strauss is the news bureau chief and presenter for Israel Unfiltered, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And Reverend Nathan Williams is the director of marketing and communications. Now, I didn't actually prepare notes, but for many years, but not as many years either as I'm alive or that I've been in Israel, I've been a tremendous fan of Bridges for Peace. And I say not as many years as I'm alive because I think Bridges for Peace, it's fair to say, is the oldest, longest standing Christian Zionist organization based in Jerusalem. And the history is amazing. The staff with whom I've had the privilege of going back with, most of the time I'm in Israel, first of all, the staff is amazing. Volunteers are amazing. And for me, it's been a personal and enriching blessing. And I always want to encourage people. And by the way, I did not write it down. So someone tell me, your website is bridgesforpeace.com. Bridgesforpeace.com. and you can get all the information. We're going to talk a little bit about it today. But today specifically, and I also have to note that over the years, there have been many, many opportunities, both in a more formal way that I've had the privilege of partnering and doing things together with Bridges and people individually and the organization. And also, and I really cherish this, this is not rhetoric, this is not platitudes, but the council, the friendship, really, It uplifts me. It helps me. And I would argue that if the only blessing Israel is through Jonathan Feldstein, you've knocked it out of the park. So with that, I want to talk about the newest program, or at least one of the newest programs. And literally, it is a program. It's called Israel Unfiltered. And the website, which we will repeat, is israelunfiltered.tv. And it's a new, and I'm going to get into it because I really want to know. I've seen a number of the episodes. Peter or Nathan, I don't remember which one. You shared it with me. We had a conversation. I became addicted. This is probably one of the best binge watching things that I've done in a very long time. And I haven't seen all of the episodes yet, but I have a real strong passion to do that, not just for the sake of completing it, but the information that even I'm gathering and gleaning. So I just want to set that up and welcome. I was trying to keep this in alphabetical order, Peter and Ilse and Nathan. And we're dispensing with titles now, because we're just speaking among friends. Welcome, and it's really, really my privilege to have you as part of Inspiration from Zion today.
Thank you, Jonathan.
So, Ken, before we get into Israel Unfiltered specifically. I'd like to take a wider lens. Peter, you and I were together a couple of weeks ago, and maybe that's what triggered this, or maybe we talked about it. I don't remember. But we were spending a lot of time, maybe in private therapy with one another, talking about all the things that we've lived through in the last 10 and a half, almost 11 months. And you were sharing with me some of the really cool things that I didn't know that you've done, you individually and you collectively as Bridges for Peace since the war began, and literally since the war began, because you were down on the Gaza border the next day. Open it up to anyone who wants to help me and our followers understand what have you jumped in and been doing the last 10 and a half months?
Well, thanks, Jonathan, and thank you for having us, hosting us on this program. I think it's first of all important to know Bridges for Peace, as you mentioned in your wonderful, humbling, wow, we're humbled, your introduction. But Bridges for Peace has been operating in the land for over 50 years, and so much of I like to think of it as like what the work that we were doing pre-October 6th, and then what we were doing after October 7th. Pre-October 6th, we were feeding 24,000 needy Israelis every month, 60 tons of food. We were working with Holocaust survivors. We were repairing homes, working in schools with teachers and children, providing hot lunches for children and school supplies. And we've provided bomb shelters in the past and ambulances. So we've had connections for decades with many communities and cities and organizations throughout the country. So currently about 23 towns and cities from Kiryat Shmona right up on the Lebanon border down to Dimona and Sderot, Ofakim, Netivot. We've had relationships with the people of Kfar Aza. So when you think of October 7th, as you and I in our therapy and quote, in our conversations and our friendship that we've had, and then just trying to get through and process the events of October 7th. When October 7th happened, it was extremely personal. It obviously was traumatizing for everybody in Israel. It was surreal to live through. It was horrific. And the nation and the people and everybody connected to this nation globally we're still going through this every day with the hostages and the ongoing war. But for us, Bridges for Peace, we're not tourists. And I want your viewers to know we live in this country. We're short-term and long-term people. We're people that don't have to be here, but we love God and we love what God loves. And so we choose to be here, and our faith dictates that. Our humanity dictates that. And so we're people from all over the world. We have eight national offices, and we have individuals who represent other countries where we don't have national offices in. And so when October 7th happened, we find ourselves in bomb shelters, running to bomb shelters under threat of missile attack. People that we know, the mayors of cities, teachers, community leaders, recipients of our aid and programs over the years came under attack. Dozens and dozens murdered in Ofakim, for example. I think 55 murdered in Ofakim. Well, that's one of our adopted towns. Sderot was invaded by Hamas. Dozens murdered in that community. Kfar Aza, over 80 individuals murdered and people kidnapped. So not only was Israel affected, and then the next day, October 8th, the North, Hezbollah starts raining missiles down onto our northern communities. So suddenly this opens up a whole different door when, as an organization, we meet the needs, the social needs, and the needs of widows and orphans and desperate people who struggle to put food on the table, who have different needs, and we've done this. But now all of a sudden, we're getting grocery lists of first responders and city mayors that are now moving through and experiencing in real time horrific images and requests that they could have never imagined. And we, as an organization, we're in the epicenter. They know us, we know them. So they come to us. We need these things. So, such and such, because these people in our community have just been murdered, or at the Nova Festival. It goes on and on. So our donors around the world, we responded immediately on the 7th. Ilse, as our news bureau chief, we rallied our media people. We came to our office on the 7th as the missiles were flying. I mean, 3,000 missiles, I believe, on the 7th. And we began reporting and writing and publishing this. That's Bridges for Peace. We are in the good times and the bad times. We didn't send out a message, oh my goodness, there's war, there's a threat like that the state of Israel has never experienced before. Everybody, quick, get the next flight and go back to your country. Of course, we don't chain people to their desks. We don't force people to stay. Everybody has stayed out of choice because their faith dictates that. It's their heart. It's the heart of our organization that we are with Israel. The Jewish people are not alone, and we stand in the good times and the bad times. And this has been just, yeah.
And that's the DNA of Bridges for Peace going back to the 1960s.
Absolutely.
That's not just since the last 10 months, and that's very noteworthy.
Absolutely. Our founder used his personal car as an ambulance in the Six-Day War. And so, to give you a quick grocery list of items that we've done, thousands of bags of food and clothing to first responders, bomb shelters, intensive care ambulances, gift cards. We've paid rent for widows whose husbands have either fallen in battle or were murdered that day. We sat Shiva, a period of mourning, the 7-day period of mourning, with families that had lost loved ones. We went to military funerals. We even went to weddings. We've connected with all kinds of people on the front lines of service and displaced individuals. We've worked with Kibbutz Be'eri in supplying trauma care and appliances, and we've helped the people of Kfar Aza and partnered with organizations like Genesis 123 to stand in the gap. I mean, the relationships, Jonathan, that we have with you and others is incredible. And
I want to
yeah.
ask Ilse and Nathan if they want to add something, but as you're making list, and I know you just listed really the tip of the iceberg, but as
Yeah.
you were doing that, and I didn't prepare for this, it's not meant to be a self-serving conversation, but one of the things that I love that we've done together, and not just that we did it together, but that this was the project, one of the projects that you wanted to support, is when my son's unit came out of
Yes.
Gaza and we had that celebratory event that Genesis 123 sponsored to thank them and give them a couple of gifts. One of the ones that you purposefully chose to fund was giving flowers that week to the wives and mothers for Shabbat. And because we
Yes.
all know, even if none of us have served in the army, we know we have sons and daughters who have, or neighbors. The war has not been a strictly a strict trauma just for the combat soldiers in Gaza, but for entire families. And that also speaks a lot to the DNA of what Bridges is. Nathan and Ilse, you're nodding actively. Anything? I want to talk. I want to move to
Yeah.
Israel Unfiltered, but I want to also just ask, you've also both been here a long time. What are the outstanding things that you want to just highlight before we move on that Bridges is doing in the last 10 months?
Yeah, well, I think Peter is really focused on, what we talk about at Bridges for Peace is that the organization is built on two pillars. So Peter's really focused on our humanitarian efforts since October 7th, which are obviously very important and vital to the work of Bridges for Peace. But if we look back in our DNA, it's really education. Bridges for Peace was founded as an educational and advocacy organization on behalf of Israel and the Jewish people. And that's really also where we've been focusing. And we'll obviously get into that as we talk about Israel Unfiltered. This is one of the educational initiatives we're launching at this time. But really educating Christians around the world. Jonathan, we're both building this bridge. I like to see in your mission statement that you mentioned the word bridge. You're on one end of the bridge, the Jewish end, and we're on the Christian end, and we're both trying to, build this bridge together. Yeah, that's what Bridges for Peace is here. We are working on the Christian world to educate them about Israel, how to stand up for Israel, how to advocate for Israel. And with the last 10 months, there's been a lot of challenges that Christians are faced with, in their support for Israel, in their theology around Israel, different questions that they need answered. And that's really where I think Bridges for Peace has stepped up. not only in humanitarian aid efforts, but also in our educational efforts, which I
Yeah.
think are noteworthy too. So I'll let Ilse
Thank you for
talk a bit
adding
more
that.
about
Ilsa,
that. No, well
what do you want
said.
to add? And which is a good setup to where we're going, and I'm glad you went that direction, Nathan.
I think, Jonathan, the one thing that we can conclude this conversation with, this introductory conversation with, is this. Israel is a nation where words, it often means very little, but actions speak louder than words. You know that. And that is what our actions are communicating at the moment. Israel, you are not alone. We were not here during the Holocaust. We were not here during the pogroms and during the Spanish Inquisition, but we're here now. And this is where we are staying. We are standing right next to you. Israel, you are most definitely not alone this time.
Yeah.
And hopefully this is what the people are seeing at the moment, that we are here next to them, going through everything alongside them. And Jonathan, we have taken you as our own. Here we are, like Ruth.
That's so excellent. And of course, it does make a difference. I know from my experience, more and more Israelis are beginning to understand and embrace what you represent, if not you personally and Bridges for Peace, because not everybody knows, and but you're helping, and maybe this is a really good segue. You're make not more than helping, you're making an invaluable contribution to the breaking down of those barriers that have existed for much of 2 millennia. Let's and thank you for that. And by the way, that's real important for people who are Jewish who are following this conversation to know as well. Let's move on to Israel Unfiltered. But Ilse, maybe you as the presenter or anyone who wants to tell us what it is in your own words, because I just gave a very rough introduction. And Nathan, since you mentioned that I talk about building bridges, I will conveniently use what's the genesis for Israel Unfiltered.
Good job there. Well, to say what it is, I think we need to go back to the genesis of Israel Unfiltered. And I think in the weeks, in the hours, in the days, in the weeks after October 7th, and as the war got started properly in Gaza, we just continued to receive question after question after question from Christians in the nations, saying, we stand with Israel, we love Israel, and but what about this? What about that? What about this accusation? And you know the truth at the moment is being just made every day on social media. So people are not looking at news sources anymore, and even if they were, very often the news sources are biased against Israel. So we would just get a floodgate of questions from Christians in the nations asking, how do I answer this accusation? How do I speak with my colleagues? How do I speak with students? How do I speak with fellow students? How do I explain this to people who are anti-Israel? And yes, the information is out there. Of course it is. We have so much of good sources, but it means going and doing the research, putting
Excellent.
everything together. And our generation very often loathed to do that. So that's what we did. Israel Unfiltered is basically gathering all that information, looking at all the questions that we got, and then gathering all the information to answer those questions and
Excellent.
more.
Excellent. One of the problems with this conversation is I'm so engrossed, I'm losing track of time. So I'm going to use that as a cliffhanger. We're going to take a quick break. And then, Peter and Nathan, I want to come back and just also get your perspective on that. But let's just take a really quick break, please.
As remarkable and miraculous as Israel is, and its very existence a testimony to God's faithfulness, in many ways, Israel's like most other countries. Just as there are parents anywhere who have stronger and weaker parenting abilities, and adults become a product of situations in their lives that they cannot control, making their ability to raise and care for their own children even harder. That's true in Israel as well. The Genesis 1-2-3 Foundation is committed and takes the mandate seriously to care for the least of these, our brothers, our children. We're committed to bless and strengthen orphans and at-risk youth, to invest in them, to empower them, so that their future will be brighter than their past or their present. But Israel is unique in that there are always threats of war and terror which know no bounds. For children who come from homes that are not safe, sometimes the very scary reality of living in a community that's not safe is too much to bear. We are committed to turning orphans and at-risk youth into children of promise. We fund a variety of programs to help those most in need as widely as we can. We invite and encourage you to join us today so that we can ensure their brighter tomorrow. Please visit genesis123.co to find out more and to send your love and most generous donation today.
Nathan, Peter, maybe you can compliment, but I'd like you to do so by making me a fly on the wall in your office. I get it. I understand all of the emails, questions. You're here to build bridges. You're here to spread the truth to the nations about Israel, and you've probably been bombarded. I should never try that again. More questions than you can imagine, yeah. Many of which are derivations. But what happened? Who said to who, hey, why don't we try this?
Well, it's actually Yilda's brainchild, our news bureau chief. You know, we produce news daily and a bi-monthly magazine. So, you know, we're always communicating the truth about what's happening in Israel, but also the good news of what's happening in Israel. So we really wanted to launch a new platform. You know, everything's digital these days and online. We wanted to make it accessible for our stakeholders around the world. In an accessible way that you know, they can reach it no matter what country you're in, no matter where you are, you can connect with these experts. And obviously Bridges for Peace has built up relationships with Jewish experts, Arab experts, secular Israelis who speak on these topics, who are insightful, who can equip people with the knowledge and context that they need to be able to be effective advocates for Israel and to really understand what's going on here. So we really saw ourselves just as that connection, to take the experts that we know, the relationships that Bridges for Peace has built, and to leverage those to educate our Christian network around the world. And that's really where it was birthed from. And it was a labor of love. It took us several months. It's one of the biggest projects that Bridges for Peace, media projects that Bridges for Peace has undertaken, I think, since the days of VHS tapes, you know, that we used to send out into the world. And we've definitely, you know, moved into the next digital generation, I think, as an organization, which is really exciting for us to move into this new digital media environment where we're going to be able to publish, hopefully regularly, educational materials that we feel Christians need to be equipped with. So that's really, I think, part of the Genesis story. And I don't know if Peter wants to add anything to that.
Yeah, I would build off of that because, you know, I echo exactly what Ilse and Nathan have said, and I'd build off of that to say we can't take for granted the war on truth. There is an actual war on truth, and the enemies of Israel know that. And the enemies of Israel are also the enemies of Western civilization and everything that we hold dear. You know, I've heard it said you see pro-Israel rallies around the world, and what do they have? Israeli flags, but they'll have, you know, the Union Jack of the UK or the American flag of the United States or a Canadian flag. When you look at the anti-Israel protests, they burn the national flags of the countries that they're protesting in, including the Israeli flag. So, you know, it's been said that these are also not just anti-Israel protests, they're anti-West, they're anti-Judeo-Christian. And we can't take that for granted. As Nathan mentioned earlier, our pillar being education, it's not just trying to teach things so that we know stuff. It's to encourage action. It's to be a light. It's to be a voice for good. How to combat evil, how to stop darkness is you must use voice, you must use truth, and you have to do things. And when we look at history, we've seen the absolute antithesis to that of what the end game is when people self-censor or when very few people are willing to count the cost.
Excellent.
And the most horrific example of that are the years of the Holocaust. But the buildup, the Holocaust didn't just happen. It built up with years of intimidation, self-censorship, and I would actually say centuries of anti-Semitism that was just like a culmination of this perfect storm of people who eventually should have known better, who then self-censored and let this tidal wave of darkness pour forth. And we're seeing that same threat. So when we have Christians in the nations who have stood with Israel for decades, perhaps, or young adults, the young minds, right? It's like they don't read news articles. We're not training people to study and research. They read headlines. They're on TikTok. They hear something powerfully said that sounds like truth, but it's adulterated. It's not. But it sounds enticing or it sounds truth. Well, how do you discern the truth, especially with young adults that are not being trained to discern truth and to pursue that? In our nations, truth is subjective and it's all relative. It's like this erosion. And so we have this fertile soil of the value of education and being, you should seek truth. That's something that even within Christianity, the truth shall set you free. Even Jesus encouraged to worship God in spirit and truth. But what we're seeing is a disintegration of that, where then, like Ilse mentioned, the questions that we're having or the conundrum that Christians are find themselves in, they hear these accusations and they know there's something about them that doesn't sound truthful, but then how do you equip?
Right.
And so it is a combination of what Ilse and Nathan are talking, the pillar of education, going back to our founder and seeing the disconnect and wanting to establish something of not just knowledge, but practical expression of that, which is Bridges for Peace.
Sure.
But then equipping and Israel Unfiltered, gathering like top experts and educators and expanding that. As you will notice, Israel Unfiltered doesn't just deal with October 7. It goes into the history. Who are the Palestinians? What is the Bible? What is the history of the land? How do people relate to that? What's it all about? And we go to Muslims, Christians, and Jewish scholars and experts, and we look to unpack that, really, to get to the truth and to equip people to be a voice.
So thank you. We're going to dig down right now, but I want to just comment on something or observe something you said, Peter, which triggered me and brought me back to a very vivid conversation I had with your predecessor and my dear friend, all of our dear friends, Becky Brimmer, who I remember so vividly, and I know I'm paraphrasing, but I'm getting tears in my eyes just thinking about it, how she said if she could, she would transport herself back to 1938 to educate the church in Germany about what the true stance ought to have been vis-a-vis Israel and the Jewish. Well, Israel didn't exist yet as a state, but the Jewish people. And in a sense, you're doing that now. And you're doing that now post October 7th in not as a response to, but just as a continued fulfillment of your mission. Following the greatest massacre of Jews since the Holocaust, worthwhile tying that all together. Quickly, let's talk. I don't want to give it all away. And by the way, there's so much. If people don't understand, I'm a enthusiastic supporter, and everyone should go to IsraelUnfiltered.tv and subscribe yesterday. And then watch all of the episodes by the day before yesterday. How many episodes? And Peter, you just alluded to various topics and some of the guests. Without speaking about the guests, how many episodes are there so people know what they're going to be getting? And what are the general topics?
Yeah, well, Ilse, Ilse's going to be the one to wade into this, because she was a central piece in putting this together, because we all put our heads together. What should this look like? What are the subjects? All of that. But Ilse really was, as the presenter, with questions and how it should go, what should the timeline, what should people watch first, and how should it end?
Oh,
I want
excellent.
to, I really, because a lot of thought was put into this, so I want to really hand that over to Ilse to
Good.
walk you through, Jonathan.
So, Ilsa, what are the topics? How many episodes? Because I don't remember. And what are the general topics? I want to elicit from all of you what some of the details, but kind of the table of contents.
Sure. Well, we've got 10 episodes, 10 experts speaking to a specific topic. And I think what we did was we looked at all the questions people were asking us, and then we tried to distill all those questions into specific topics. For instance, 10 episodes, 40 minutes to 60 minutes each, each asking an expert a specific question. For instance, the IDF. Most moral army in the world or genocidal? Then we looked at Hamas, freedom fighters or absolute terror organization. Then we looked at one of the questions or one of the accusations we very often got was October 7th did not happen in a vacuum. Yes, October 7th was terrible, but you should look at what happened before October 7th. You should look back 75 years to the rebirth of Israel, as if the rebirth of Israel was the start of this history, which it was obviously not. So we walked back 3,000 years to the genesis of this. Then looking at the mindset, because we think from a Western mindset, we think that everyone thinks from a Western mindset. And that is very often the problem. We look at what is happening in Gaza and what Hamas is subjecting their people to, and we think, this can't be because
Right.
people do not do these type of things. But that's Western thinking. So unpacking the mindset of the jihadi, looking at what they teach their people. And then we had an Arab coming and speaking to a mindset of being born in Jordanian-occupied Jerusalem.
I missed
Were they?
that one. I have to see that.
It's extremely interesting. And then we had a first responder who worked on October 7th coming and sharing her experience. She's a MADA first responder, and she worked on that day and sharing her story of calls coming in and experiencing the dawn of this is the biggest
Yeah.
tragedy and the biggest assault that Israel has ever experienced. And then we had a soldier who fought on that day and just watching October 7th unfold through his eyes and walking through. And then we look at the fact that Israel is very often in the unique position that her battles are not fought only physically. It's also fought on a public relations battlefield. But why is Israel, even though it tries so hard to fight this battle in the physical realm, to fight it so from such a moral perspective, why is Israel not as successful on the public relations front? So I think I've touched on a number of
Yeah.
topics there. Who wants to jump in and
Well,
make
I
sure what
want
I
to
missed?
before they jump in, I specifically was impressed with you, Ilsa, and first of all, that on all of the episodes that I saw, at least there was no evidence of it. You didn't have notes. You were well prepared and you were speaking. First of all, you were doing some of the best active listening and responding to the comments, because when you're having a conversation like this, but even all the more so the conversations that you were having, of course you knew what the topic was, but you didn't know where the conversation was going to go. So you were very adept at moving it and responding, and I want to just compliment you on that. And before we have Nathan and Peter come in to complement what you just said, I want to take another real quick break. We'll leave that as a cliffhanger so people can come back and learn more about what these episodes are about. But just one more minute.
The restoration of Jewish sovereignty in the land of Israel was an earth-shattering event. For Christians, it was a confirmation that God always keeps his covenantal promises. Today, we are blessed to see God's fingerprints in the modern miracle of the land of Israel playing out in our lives among the people and in the state of Israel. This year, on the occasion of Israel's 75th anniversary, the Genesis 123 Foundation has been privileged to bring together 75 Christian leaders from around the world to lend their unique voices, sharing their personal faith experiences relating to Israel and their in-depth insight into Israel's history and spiritual significance to create an historical, one-of-a-kind, high-end coffee table book, Israel the Miracle. Israel the Miracle's stunning imagery will fill your home with the hope of fulfilled promises and conversations about Israel. It's a perfect gift to anybody for any occasion, and most of all, to yourself. You'll also be a blessing to Israel, knowing that the proceeds will go to bless Israelis of all backgrounds. Be a part of Israel the Miracle and bring the land, the people, and the state of Israel into your heart and into your home. Visit IsraelTheMiracle.com to get your limited edition copy today.
Okay. Peter, Nathan, if Ilse is the brainchild and the presenter, then that means much, if not most of everything that is the end product was really on her desk. And therefore, I'm gathering that a lot of it, no, not true. Okay, all right, then I'm getting
oh,
it.
Oh, no.
Okay, then scratch that. It's a good thing I'm doing my active listening. Scratch that. How do I rephrase it with a correct premise? Oh, dear, my grandchildren just walked in. Let's shut that door. What else do you want to add that people know? I want to dig into the topics of the conversation, but in terms of kind of that table of contents, Peter, Nathan.
I think from our, you know, we have an annual, what we call the Institute of Israel Studies, which is a 2-week training seminar where we do a lot of this kind of stuff. I think you've spoken at those in the past, Jonathan. You know, it's really about getting Christians here in the land, equipping them to be advocates for Israel, understanding history and context and all these kinds of things. And one of the sessions that really comes out of there is to understand this the mindset in many Palestinians of this radical fundamentalism, of why they hate Jews and Israel so much. And we had, I'll mention his name, Itamar Marcus from Palestinian Media Watch.
That was a great one.
And his session is always just so eye-opening for Christians. They've never heard of him. They aren't confronted with what Palestinians are taught in their schools, in their media, from their clerics, from Islamic teachers. So that's really an eye-opening session for me, is to understand why it's so difficult to create any kind of peace. If peace was possible, which I believe it's not because of how the Palestinian people are indoctrinated. So that's really an eye-opening session for me to see what they're taught from a young age, the glorification of jihad and martyrdom and all these kinds of things, which again, Ilse spoke about our Western mindset, that we don't even understand this kind of indoctrination from such a young age. We would probably call it child abuse. And I think for Christians to really be confronted with, that's what Israel is facing. Israel is facing generations of this indoctrination of a people. And that is why the response is the way that it is. And I think once Christians try, you know, start to understand that, they can better, you know, be affirmed in their support for Israel. Absolutely. And the challenges that Israel is facing. So I think that's a very important session.
That's an excellent overview. Collectively, I think you've all been in Israel longer than I. The point being is that you're not novices. You're part of us. And even before you were here in Israel, it's not like suddenly you clicked your heel together three times and you suddenly arrived and connected to Israel and the Jewish people. But I assume, and maybe this is another false assumption, that you all had things that you learned from this, from Israel Unfiltered. I'd love for you to highlight a couple of them that even for you were, you know, we say in Hebrew, the nafal ha'asimon, the penny dropped, and you had an epiphany on something. Anyone want to jump in? One or two things?
Yeah, I'll actually highlight three just of the
speakers.
One or two?
Okay. I'm teasing.
You know what? I can combine two of them. Because, so first of all, Colonel Richard Kemp, Bassam Eid and Yahya Muhammad. And I'll put Bassam and Yahya together, Yahya, because these are brave Israeli Arabs, Palestinian Arabs coming forward and speaking the truth. Very unique background. Bassam with his activism, and Yahya with his service in the IDF, both two people who love the Palestinian Arabs. They are Arab. They love their people, and they are willing to count the cost and come forward and point out the abuse, the indoctrination, the radicalization, the hate, and the destruction that these things are wreaking havoc on Arabs who live in Gaza, Judea, Samaria, aka West Bank. And how to overcome that is extremely difficult to explain or express, and what that should look like in harmony with the Jewish state of Israel and how Israel treats its Arab citizens. You know, 25% of Israelis are Arab citizens, and Christians, people around the world forget that. 2 million Israelis vote. They live lives here. They work alongside Jewish people. They're in the police. They're in the army. They're in the Knesset. They're lawyers, they're judges, they're doctors, all of this. And to Yahya and Bassam coming together to give their perspectives is phenomenal. These are real life people. Nothing is staged. Nothing is scripted. They're coming with their lives and how, and their experiences and how they've overcome things in their own life. It's just, I love it, because these two mighty people are willing to just be vulnerable and transparent with their experiences of how they've arrived where they are. And people need to hear that, because there are many maybe that are like them, but they don't have the courage, or they're in danger. They're in mortal danger if they air that. I mean, we've seen that with protests, even in Gaza. Gazans coming out. I just saw one yesterday, an Al Jazeera journalist trying to speak, and a woman comes up and says curses to Sinwar and Hamas, you know? And it's like that woman is going to expose herself, and many of those people who are willing to count the cost disappear, especially in Gaza. Sure. They just vanish. Hamas deals with them. And this is the reality. We cannot have a Western mindset. So we have so much to learn from individuals like this. And then Colonel Richard Kemp, I mean, can you even measure this guy's wisdom? The commander of and forces of in Afghanistan and Iraq, and his entire life dedicated to, he's not a warmonger. He's not a war junkie. No. He's an educator. He's a strategist. He's a military mind to try to make the world better. And he's extremely experienced. And he's been watching Israel for years and years. Yes. He's the one who famously called it Israel, the IDF, the most moral army in the world. He's on the front lines. He analyzes it. He meets with the top brass right down to the regular soldier. And for Ilse to sit down with this guy, with this man, and hear him just walk through the why. It's easy to say Israel's the most moral army in the world, but why? Yes. And he dissects that in a brilliant way.
Yeah, excellent. So I just want to compliment something you said, Peter. I was watching the news on Channel 12 last night, and there was a interview with Palestinian Arab workers by one of the leading journalists here, who flew an Arabic speaker, so there were subtitles. But what impressed me, what struck me, sort of my epiphany, was that the faces of many of the Palestinian Arab workers had to be blurred, because it would be dangerous for them just to be speaking on Israeli TV.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct. And we actually approached a number of Arabs who were unwilling, who said, we would love to speak, but not even if you blurred our faces and changed our voices. Because that is how they feel, but that is not what they can say. They will tell you behind closed doors, but unfortunately, because of their families, they just can't. And I want to, Peter, yes, I want to echo what you are saying. I think one of the biggest things that touched my heart was what Yahya Mahamid said. Absolutely such an amazing young man. And I met him when he was still a little boy. And I'm so proud to see the man that he's grown into being. And My last question to him, and this is a spoiler, was, Yahya, you have friends in Gaza. What would you say to them? And he said, your suffering is about to be over. With every step that the IDF is taking closer to you, your suffering is one step closer to being over. And I my heart just broke in that, because it connects to what everybody in every interview said. That connects specifically to what the soldier, Shahak, we call him because we can't use his real name. He said at some point towards the end of the interview, I blame Israel. What?
Yeah.
I blame Israel for not going in earlier, because we knew what the Gazans were suffering and we should have liberated them earlier. And if you listen to what he shares about what the Gazans were suffering under Hamas, your heart breaks. And this just brings into focus, the people of Gaza are suffering terribly under Hamas, And Israel here is the liberator. And when an IDF soldier says that, it means nothing. But when a young Palestinian Arab Muslim who calls himself a Zionist, when he says that, the world needs to sit up and take notice.
So, Ilse, let me interrupt. And this is completely a tangent. You mentioned that there were Palestinian Arabs or Israeli Arabs who you approached who wouldn't come and speak publicly, although they had, because for their own safety, for their standing and safety. But you're also talking about people who have, and quoting them, and here's evidence that, and that's all correct. But here, let me ask you a question. How do you know? And I don't necessarily know if that's with 100% certainty. What's the proof text that what Palestinian Arabs who will speak are speaking what they really feel and not telling you what you want to hear? So how do we know if that's the truth?
From what you hear in the street, from what you hear from Arabs who are willing to speak to you when they know that nobody else is listening. I can quote for you, and I won't go into specifics and give away who their identity is, but I've had Arabs say to me, Hamas ruined our lives. They ruined our lives. All that we want, taxi drivers, people we know, people who met us on that Monday morning crying, saying, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. So what you hear on screen from Bassam Eid and from Yahya Mahamid, that is echoing what the Arabs are feeling, what the Arabs in Jerusalem are feeling. That's echoing what we hear from so many peace-loving Arabs who want to live side by side, who just want to go to work and come home and feed their families and live in peace. What you hear from Bassam Eid and Yahya Mahamid, that is what you will hear behind closed doors.
Okay.
Some people who need to speak.
Okay. Nathan, before you said something about there can't be peace, alluding to this, I'd love you to pick up on what Ilse just said and compliment your previous comment. But I'd like to go back to my earlier question, which is what did you learn? What was your aha moment in seeing all of these?
Well, I'll give a shameless plug to Peter Fast, our CEO. He did a session, and you know, something that's really common in Christian circles is this verse from the book of Esther. I'm sure you're very familiar with it, you know, where Mordecai says to Esther, you know, you were called for such a time as this. And that's, I'm sure you've encountered that, Jonathan, in the Christian world a lot. A lot of pro-Israel Christians say, you know, we're called for such a time as this. But I think in the past 10 months, Christians have really been challenged with what that means. And so Peter does a session on standing up for righteousness, and really, you know, counting the cost as a Christian to stand up for truth and stand up for righteousness, and what it cost for Esther to stand up for her people, for the Jewish people in that time when they were facing destruction. And I think a lot of Christians, for me, it challenged me. You know, I've used that saying, I say it to other people, but what does that really mean? You know, for such a time as this, to stand in the gap for the Jewish people when they're facing an existential threat. you know, it's going to cost us something. And we've seen that around the world. Maybe Peter can share a little bit more dealing with all our national offices. You know, the challenges we've seen as pro-Israel Christian organization being barred from events and conferences, and where our pro-Israel stance has really become radical, you know, where it was once generally accepted. You know, your pro-Israel stance is something that is even alienating us as Christians within our own churches and communities. So really that's one of the important messages really that comes out of it for me, is for Christians to know that they need to stand up for truth and stand up for righteousness and stand up for Israel, despite what the world is saying and despite what the cost is to them.
Yeah. Peter, I think based on your active nodding, you want to respond, but I'm going to take host privilege and take one final break, and we'll use that as the cliffhanger for Peter Fast to begin the final segment. 1 minute.
Friends, Israel's at war, and the war may get worse before it gets better. Much worse. It's going to be a long war, because the enemy is the epitome of evil. It's not just a matter of overcoming troops on a battlefield, but overcoming a theology, an ideology, an evil one. While the Genesis 123 Foundation has been overwhelmed with the support of so many donations to the Israel Emergency Campaign, there's so much more that needs to be done. We've invested your donations that we've received so far strategically to make the biggest impact possible, whether helping with soldiers and their equipment and personal needs, to providing civilian security for outlying border communities, to relocating and settling several families from near the Gaza war zone, launching the global petition drive to support Israel in the face of pressure for a ceasefire, and long-term needs for at-risk children, traumatized now more than ever before. Please take a moment to pause this conversation right now and go to love.genesis123.co and donate generously. We value your trust, and we will keep all donors informed about how and where your donations are being used to contribute to make the biggest impact possible. And when you use that link, love.genesis123.co, you can also send your prayers and words of encouragement to Israelis of all backgrounds. Just sending your love, something that we need so desperately. Thank you, and God bless you and your loved ones.
Okay, Peter, Nathan, I just want to underscore, Nathan gave a shameless plug, so just make note of that. You were actively nodding and engaged
yeah.
with what he was saying. What do you want to compliment?
Well, because I think, and I'll give a shameless plug, I think Ilse and Nathan have been brilliant in this. It also expands out to our key media person and graphic designers.
Yes.
To create a product. Not to just inform, but to be exactly what Nathan is describing and exactly what Ilse has spoken to. Look, in the late 1920s and 30s, if you're a Christian and it built and it just got worse, at the beginning, if you spoke out, you might get somebody call you a rude name. Maybe they throw a brick through your window if you're lucky, or whatever. And then as it increased, the threat of losing your job, the threat of social like alienation, being cast out of clubs or societies you're a part of, maybe even the congregation or church you attended, maybe even property damage, those things increased to the point of now imprisonment and fines. Maybe you get imprisoned, maybe you're going to get roughed up, to the point of you could also be executed. For
yes.
treason, sent to a concentration camp. You could be tortured by the Gestapo. It just increases. And also the alienation, the division of and the fear of society, the kind of the totalitarian regime spreading a fear into society and dividing. And we're seeing that in nations around the world. Fear and division, alienation, mockery, sarcasm, and violence, both in threats, but also in action. Unfortunately, Jewish people have experienced this for centuries. But now allies, or even Christians that are going to stand with the Jewish people, these things are increasing. So they can be, yeah, as small as, okay, we can't, we get rejected of attending this conference, or a magazine, a Christian magazine, won't publish our advert, to losing friends, to this church won't host the event, to now we get accosted maybe on the street, an email sent or a phone call or a donor, I'm not going to donate to you, or a church that cuts it, to now standing on a street corner with our Jewish friends and brothers, to and people coming across the street and spitting and swearing and cursing, to physical violence or property damage. So it's like, but it's like, what, are we going to just stop doing this and let this thing roll on? Or are we going to, or are we going to stand up for such a time as Excellent. This?
Excellent.
And it's like, that's like, look at, and it's interesting because Mordecai says to Esther, Hadassah, if you don't do this, salvation will come from
yes.
another. And that's the thing. We believe, we're not just like wrestling of flesh and blood. We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And for Christian viewers, they'll understand the wrestling. We not wrestle with flesh and blood. They'll understand where that comes from, the Newer Testament, where there's this ultimate struggle. And I believe as a man of faith, there's a spiritual element to this. But we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if Christians in Canada won't stand up, God will, salvation will come. Deliverance will come. But it's like, but look at the cost. And we saw that in plain sight throughout. We've seen that so many times in history. When anti-Semitism, when hate, when these things are allowed to fester, they come against everything.
Yeah.
It rots a society. It destroys everything in it. And so it's our battle as well. We cannot be on the sidelines. The God we serve as Christians is the God of Israel. We cannot, like, you can, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. And so that's the biology, if you can say this as if it's an organism, of all of these interviews. Is, and it ends with this call to action of what does it mean to be righteous? And it's, the message is certainly directed at Christians, pastors who are going to be looking at, do I risk my church dividing over this, or myself getting sacked or being out of a job if I pray for Israel, if I speak up for Israel, if I tell people you're wrong, this is wrong, you need to read more or study more. Do I risk them getting angry and just leaving the church, or rallying a bunch of people to split?
Right.
Or, like, what do we do for the truth?
But the answer is yes. People do risk that, and they risk
yes.
people just not even a split. People walking out and
Absolutely.
Giving an offering, and that has its effect. So you are that moral backbone.
Yeah.
That's why it's important for me to have this conversation and to give you the backbone
yeah.
to get this out there.
And if you'll give me 2 seconds left, Jonathan.
Yeah.
With Bridges, because there's a good side, with Bridges rallying and the information we've got, we've seen, despite the negative stuff all of your viewers will watch online and read, we have seen Christians around the world who are counting that cost, and we continued with all of our regular pledges and programs. On top of that, Christians gave millions of dollars in October, November, and December, and continued to give.
Yes.
And change the world. So that's like, there is hope. We are all people of hope. And we see that as plain as day.
There is tremendous hope. And I'm glad we spoke about Esther, and Peter, I'm glad you also added what's the scripture, but if you don't step up, someone else will.
Yes.
So it brought to me the scenario of the 12 spies, of whom we remember two of them by name because they were righteous. And we could go back, and maybe some of you remember their name, the names of the 10 others. I don't, but this is a call to Christians. Do you want to be remembered for something good, or do you want to be written out of the story?
Yes.
Yeah. I would like to begin to wrap up. by putting you each on the spot and saying and asking the question, what if only someone has, when they go to IsraelUnfiltered.tv and subscribe, it's an unlimited subscription. You can, of course, see all the 10 episodes and that's important. And it is binge watching worthy. It's essential. But if someone is coming on and only has an hour to see one, What's the one that you want to start them with and why? Anyone can jump in. I think the last person has a maybe easier time because he or she can respond to the first two.
Oh, no, I don't want to go first on this one. You two take it.
Okay, as presenter, you get
presenter's privilege. I already kind of shared mine, and that's Itamar Marcus. I find that's just so invaluable because it's so eye-opening. To understand the Palestinian mindset, to understand the indoctrination. I just think that'll just be eye-opening for Christians to understand what Israel is really dealing with. That would be mine.
I'm not going to answer my own question, but I'll compliment what you said by acknowledging that that's one of the episodes I did watch. And even for me, it was super important to hear things that I know to be true, but he's documenting it with facts and with things that are unimpeachable. And that gave me strength. That gave me a lot of encouragement. Peter, what's the one episode? You can't say the one with yourself.
Yeah, no. What I will say, that's an extremely difficult question. It's like someone asking me, what is my favorite film or favorite book to read? Well, the book, I could say the Bible. That's it. It's, but if they say set the Bible aside, what's your favorite book? Then that's a nightmare. You know what? I think people come to documentaries with different thoughts. What do I want to get out of it? When you watch a documentary, you might be intrigued by the title or just the content. You read a little paragraph. Okay, I'm going to watch a single documentary. Now, an interview series and such a hot topic, I like to say everybody in the world has an opinion on Israel, even those who say they don't have an opinion. And so it's like, what are you, when you approach, if you are subscribing to Israel Unfiltered, what have you heard? What do you know? What do you think you know? What are you, a person of faith or not? Like, if you're an atheist or whatever, my episode might not mean much, although it may, I don't know. So it just depends on how you tick, and maybe you have a stumbling block over something. My episode might not do as much if you know I'm supposed to, I think this is wrong. I know I'm supposed to be righteous. I'm supposed to do this, but there's one thing I'm struggling with, and that might be what, like, Itamar Marcus turns the light on with that, like, or what actually happened on October 7th through the soldiers' eyes, or the history. I think context is extremely important, and people drink the Kool-Aid, so to speak, or they buy the lie often because they have no context. We get dropped in all this controversial stuff, the Nakba, or 1967, and then it's like occupied territory and this, and there's buzzwords. And without the context, as Ilse said earlier on the interview, we go back 3,000 years. I'm a kind of a historian by nature. I think chronologically, I think contextually, historically is so important. And so Dr. Jonathan Speier is an excellent one, because it's like going back. Because if there is no history, well, then maybe the Jewish people did just steal the land. Maybe they hid archaeological coins in the soil, and it's all conspiratorial, and they have no root, right? And that's one of the anti-Semitic things. They're rootless. It's almost like they're thieves. They just arrived here and took someone else's land. But if we accept the argument, the historical proof, not just some kind of opinion, that 3,000, this is indigenous land. This is where your ancestors are buried. This is where everything happened. Then my goodness, the claim. I mean, why do they use the word Palestinian and not just call themselves Arabs? Because we know Arabs come from Arabia. Jews come from Judea. This is where it happened. So then we have to accept an indigenous argument. My goodness, that really flies in the face of so much of the narrative on the Palestinian Arab side that is a historical revisionist narrative.
I'd like to acknowledge your very Jewish answer and commend you for that. Ilsa, you're the
Right.
presenter. You have you had all of these conversations. What's what well, I know I'm putting you on the spot because they're all good, but what's the one?
I agree with Peter in terms of, what do you want to get out of this? What is your question that you want an answer to? But for me, I'm sorry, I'm going to give you two. First
okay, I can
one
see.
is Richard Kemp. I mean, how many of us have seen war up close and personal? Very few, very few. And I'm going to be honest with you, looking at the footage coming out of Gaza, I was shocked. I was shocked, and for a few days there, I was thinking, wow, this is bad. And then Richard puts it in perspective that, no, this is war. Yes, it's bad, but it's nothing different than anything else that anybody has seen in war. And we think that this is worse because we don't see it. We don't see war up close and personal. But those who have seen it, they'll be very quick to tell you it's normal. It's normal. And then my second one is Yahya, because Yahya comes, he speaks to the other side. He speaks to what Hamas is like, what's happening inside Gaza. And it connects to what Itamar says to the mindset. But this young man, he knows, and the things that he says, and even if we know what the mindset is like, the things that this young man tells us, shocking. It breaks your heart, and you need to know this. You need to know what the other side is all about. And he tells you that.
Yeah, excellent. Reverend Peter Fast, Ilsa Strauss, and Reverend Nathan Williams. I'm glad we had this conversation because you've even added dimension for me. And gives me all the more reason to really want to encourage everyone who's following to go to IsraelUnfiltered.tv and subscribe and be educated and watch things that they need to watch twice. And I want to thank you for doing this as a continuum of everything that Bridges for Peace has been doing now for almost as many years as I'm alive. And I'm really, really grateful for that. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Jonathan.
We always end our episodes with a great offer, an incentive to stay to the end. And we're now in our fourth year of Inspiration from Zion as a podcast, and how novel that I remain the only Orthodox Jewish host of a podcast from and about Israel on the Charisma Podcast Network. And I early on, we started doing a program from Jonathan's bookshelf, where we encourage people to follow, like, comment, and share these episodes with other people who will also want to follow, and doing so with the incentive that every month I pick someone at random to receive a book from Jonathan's bookshelf. You can't see my bookshelf figuratively. And in the last it's a year, right, since we published Israel the Miracle, which includes Colonel Richard Kemp, which includes Reverend Rebecca Brimmer, and 74 other incredible essays of people we didn't talk about today. All we're asking is that you like, follow, and share this episode. And at some point, I will pick someone at random to receive a free copy of our $75 value Israel the Miracle book, which is stunning. We're always grateful that this podcast is sponsored by our friends at the Willow Run Greenhouse in Culpeper, Virginia. And if you're ever in the area, it'll make their day just to pop in and thank them for helping make conversations like this possible. And thanks to the Coyne family as well for their meaningful sponsorship. Inspiration from Zion and all the Genesis 123 Foundation programs are made possible by donations. So please consider joining us to help continue the dialogue and, as we've said today, build bridges. This episode is sponsored in honor of my friends at Bridges for Peace. As the host, I get to have privilege. And since I didn't have someone else who called dibs on this one, it's really my true privilege And honor to be able to do so. Thank you for what you're doing. And if you'd like to sponsor an episode in honor or memory of a loved one or special occasion or your favorite Christian Zionist organization in Jerusalem, please be in touch at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com. We'd always love to hear your comments as part of the dialogue and invite you to send any questions as well, especially about traditional Judaism for our Ask the Rabbi programs. Please do share this with others who will also find it of interest and continue to join us right here as we bring you more meaningful conversations about topics relating to Israel that you won't hear anywhere else. Wherever you are in the world, I pray that you and your loved ones are safe and healthy, and send my blessings from right here in the Judean Mountains. God bless you.
Hallelujah.